The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt, what a delight to see you. And we have a lot to talk about today. We have guests. We have Dean Thomas. So, Matt, you and I talked over the weekend. Let's jump right into it. How you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, I mean, I'm a little tired. I taught the 7 a.m. class at Sarah BJJ this morning. And then I usually come home. I take a nap before we do our thing.
Yeah,
I do that. But I had to get my car fixed. My buddy came. He took it somewhere.
Okay.
It's not a big story. But basically, I'm without a nap. So do I seem less bushy-eyed? Look at me.
No, you seem the same.
Okay. Yeah, I'm okay. Listen, amazing, amazing card. Heartbreaking what happened to Chris Weidman.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as a friend of his, it's just to see anybody in pain like that, you know? And you know what? People, and it's it's like the strangest thing ever that, like, I think out of three times this ever happened, like two out of three, he was involved in.
He was in the cage for two of them. Yeah, you're right.
It is. That's really just kind of like, I don't even know what kind of odds that is. It just seems very more than just unlikely. It's just insane that,
yeah,
you know, but Chris kicks so hard, you know, and you know, it's always a possibility.
It doesn't seem like there's anything that I can think of that it'd be more painful,
yeah,
than snapping your leg like that and stepping back and kind of collapsing onto it. He did have surgery though. I mean, the good news is Chris has had successful surgery. And he posted that he's not able to walk for 8 weeks, but at least the surgery, they said, went well, which is great news.
At least the worst is the over. But to see that happen to your friend like that, to anybody,
yeah,
it is brutal, you know? And, you know, there's some fucking insensitive assholes. When this happened to, they're like putting up, like tagging things in with, like, basically putting out there when this happened to Anderson Silva, there was a good fuck 'em meme because when I did not know, I didn't know the guy's leg was broken in half.
Right.
You remember this.
Yes.
I apologize for it because I didn't, when it happened, we're like, oh, the fight's over. What happened? Oh, he broke his leg. You think that he hurt his leg. You don't think that he snapped in half. So it was such confusion that, I don't know, people were using this as well, something to harp on, like that incident, and said calmer or this or that, or, you know, I mean, it's just horrible. I mean, for anybody to get that injury is just it's just so horrible. It's, you know, obviously if you know the person and the family, it just makes it that much worse.
It was horrible. It was very, very, and in a way too, and Uriah, I mean, it was interesting. It was the first strike thrown, I think, was that. And I thought Uriah Hall handled it as well as he could have. I mean, he handled it with a lot of respect and you know, a lot of love for Chris. And, you know, I thought he handled it as well as could have been expected.
Hey, listen, we know Uriah is a classy guy, and that's not how he wanted to go down, obviously, you know, and they both looked in great shape.
Yeah.
You know, and
And the first fight, Matt, the first fight, it was weird because the first two fights ended because of leg injuries. Anthony Smith against Jimmy Crute, he had that thing that almost, I think that Sean O'Malley had, which was when the nerve gets hit a certain way and you can't step on the leg and it's collapsing.
It was so crazy. That was crazy. Wow, you got to listen really quick about that fight. One thing is Anthony Smith's jab was just, what am I looking at? That was, right? It was just beautiful to watch. And Jimmy Crute was kicking. He was kicking. He was kicking well. And he's like, what a brute Crute, but he's such a beast. The fact that even with his leg injured, he got the takedown. Yeah. And he was like he probably knew that he's going to be hard to stand back up. So then, and he wanted to still go, you know, but man, what a total beast. So his stock does not go down.
Nope.
Anthony Smith looked like a veteran in there. Yeah. But, you know, again, I can't wait to see Jimmy Crute back either. I mean, that was a lot of heart by him.
Let's bring Dean Thomas in too, because he was there at the fight, and we still have to cover obviously the three. It's one of the most exciting night of fights I've seen. I can't maybe ever or close to it. It's one of the most exciting cards I've witnessed.
Yo, hey, Spike Lee, Steven Spielberg, how are we doing with that fucking camera?
I was just trying to get your attention.
Hey, Dean.
You are a jack of all trades, Dean Thomas, but a cameraman is not one of them. You understand?
I'm a jack of all asses, rather. Don't worry about it.
Well, jack of all whoops. I don't know. Listen to me. I love your facial hair. You know, Manscaped used to sponsor us. Do you want me give them your number? You want to get in touch with Manscaped?
Yeah, I probably should.
I think it looks good. I like the salt and pepper beard. Yeah, it's very trainerish.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, like a wise sage who's kind of come into, yes, I like it.
A sage. Yeah, I feel like that. I feel like it makes me more sophisticated and people listen to me more.
Man, you're no fucking wizard. You want to be like the black Gandalf? Put a fucking hell, put one of those funky hats on you and give him a staff? Thou shalt not pass, motherfucker! Dean Thomas is the best. So what were you saying?
I said the whole night was incredible. But we got to also, before we even get to the main card, we got to even mention to Randy Brown, who looked incredible against Alex Oliveira. He looked so good in a first round finish. But you don't realize how big he is sometimes. Like, I forgot what a big guy he is. He looked giant compared to Oliveira. So congratulations to Randy Brown. That was a great first round finish.
Got the one-arm rear naked choke there.
Yeah, he looked phenomenal, man. Like, you're right about that too. Like, he's a lot bigger than you think he would be. Like, and he's like, and he's not even really skinny either. So it's kind of weird, like, how his body shape, because he's so long. But he used that length for good measure too. So, like, yeah, man, he could definitely be a problem in the division if he gets it together.
You know what I need, yeah. Jimmy?
Yes.
I need Dean Thomas's agent. He's everywhere.
Yes, he is.
He's everywhere. Cage side, Trevor Whitman. He took Trevor Whitman's role, but Trevor Whitman's usually giving a little analysis, outside analysis.
Yeah. I took Trevor Whitman's job.
You know, I'm like, yo, and like, if anybody could do that as good as Trevor Whitman, you know, it'd be Longo. But listen, I'm happy that they got Dean there. Dean, you did great, buddy. You did good. I was proud of you. And I did not know, he doesn't even like tell me as a friend, like, hey, man, I got this gig. I just surprised Jimmy like you do.
Of course.
This is my buddy.
Because I don't know how long anything's going to last. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything could be one and done. So for me, I'm just like, I need to take advantage of what I've got that's in my face right now and just handle it. And then hopefully they bring me back. Because I don't know, man. You never know with this game.
How'd you get your name in a hat with that Trevor Whitman thing? Did they go, look, man, we're talking to you. We're talking to Javi Vasquez and Greg Jackson. Hold on. Don't count your chickens. What happened? How'd it go?
No, I think it was just because I did the weigh-in show with DC and Laura Sanko and Dan Helly. So I did the weigh-in show the day before. And they were like, hey, do you want to try this spot? Because Trevor can't do it because he's obviously coaching. So I was like, yeah, I got you. And I think it was just because I made a couple of jokes about DC. You know, they liked the fact that I was kind of clowning on DC a little bit.
How did you like doing the gig? Like, were you nervous or were you comfortable doing it?
No, I was comfortable doing it, but it was difficult because the crowd, and I couldn't hear myself. Like, you can't hear yourself with the crowd there. So it's like you're talking and you don't even know if you're saying it right.
Right. And then plus you got to three, you know, John and Joe in DC. And you, so you got three other guys that are talking and the action's happening. Yes. You want to jump in at the right time. Yeah. It seems like it's a skill. It's not as easy as it seems.
No, you're right. Because like I'm listening to them and then I'm also, you know, waiting for, you know, the production side to chime in on something and tell me, and you know, they don't care. They're just like, hey, hurry up. So like, it's kind of, it is difficult. You gotta be focused.
What did you think? I mean, it was the night was amazing. I guess we should start with Valentina over Andrade. I mean, taking her down and just beating her up on the floor, which I don't think anybody really expected that. And it almost seems like Valentina just wants to win, however, in a way that nobody thinks she's going to win. I was shocked that she spent the entire fight on the floor.
Yeah, well, you know what it is? I don't think she's jealous of Amanda, but I think she wants what Amanda has. And I think she... You know, because everybody looks at Amanda as the GOAT. She's so much better than everybody.
Yeah.
And I think she wants to try to prove that she's on that same level, but she still has these two losses to Amanda, so she can't. And Amanda's not really all that eager to give her another fight. So it's like, I think she's really just trying to prove to herself and the world that she's on the same level as Amanda.
Everything is so clean. Everything is so clean. You would think because her striking is so crisp and you know, and so measured in her distance and her timing that something would have to give with these other areas. But when you see her takedowns with these knee blocks, how she's stepping her knee behind the other knee and then she's getting out, she's going to the other side. And it's just so fluent and she's so dominant. And then when she got down there, I mean, listen, you saw DC do it versus Volkan, but shit, man, it's not the first time she gets somebody crucifixed. She does that Matt Hughes style, and it is brutal. It reminds you of Matt Hughes versus BJ Penn that time when you can't get out. I love it. It's an attack I do daily.
I hate watching that. It's so claustrophobic. When I see someone in the crucifix, like that's how I would get my ass kicked no matter where I fought. Somebody would just fucking hold me down and pummel me. That's like a schoolyard thing. Like when you see somebody getting beaten like that, it's just helpless, and she's dropping elbows and it's brutal.
Yeah, man, she's definitely a difficult puzzle. And Matt, I know that you could appreciate her technique because like she's so precise and she gets to those spots so quickly that you can't defend them. You know, most people kind of like just try to take down from awkward positions and just try to muscle it in, but she's getting into them spots like instantly, just getting into that body lock takedown that she has. The timing of it was perfect, her body positioning was perfect, and it's not just now that she did it, because if you watch her fight against Juliana Pena, it was the same exact thing. She gets in on that body lock. Her takedowns are perfect.
She's always getting those like near side underhooks. So the on bottom, they can't defend properly. They're out like this. Like, so they can't get the forearm in. So they can only defend so much. And she's either tying them up or just, oh my goodness. I mean, what could you say other than we have to wait for somebody new to arise? Like she's taking out, look at who she's finishing. I mean, she's just, I can't say enough about her. She's like the complete, like total package as far as skill set. Like, you know what I mean? It's hard to find any weakness there anywhere.
She doesn't make mistakes. That's it. She really doesn't make mistakes. And if you get something on her, you have to earn it. Like Amanda beat her basically just by like overwhelming her with stuff. She didn't really make any mistakes against Amanda. She just kind of overwhelmed her and just was bigger by overwhelming her, but she didn't really make any mistakes.
She might have lost to her, but she wasn't beaten by, like, she wasn't beat down. They could still be fighting if it wasn't broken up. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's one of those things. She's that girl, man. She's so badass.
Wouldn't you love to see, and it probably won't happen because of the weight difference, but I mean, wouldn't you love to see, like, has Rose ever indicated that she wanted to move up or that she was able to move up? And I don't see Valentina going down to dropping 10 more pounds, but has that ever been indicated by Rose or no? That's a fight I would love to see.
I never heard that. I don't think she should. I look at her. She looks great in this. Like,
she does. I just want to see that fight.
I mean, dude, that what she did in that. Ooh. Let's talk about Rose for a second. Cause I mean, listen, all the praise. I mean, she's just so
she's just so dominant and so dynamic. And one of the best ever. It's just amazing.
Yep.
But I mean, Rose, holy, it was very emotional because she's such a sweet girl. And when you see her before the fight, and when you see her talking to yourself, you're like, what is she saying?
Yeah.
And then she's like, I am the best. I am the best. I'll tell you, that can get you emotional. It was very like, oh, it's like, what is she? It's like, wow, this is pretty deep. Like, you know what I mean? Like she's getting herself ready. Rose versus, hey, listen, Wiley Jung, let me tell you something. She is her fight with Joanna Jędrzejczyk. You like that? I said that without a problem. It takes a while. Like a little kid, it takes away when I say a name right, when I say it right, and I get like this. Ooh! Am I an idiot? Dean Thomas?
No, you said Jędrzejczyk. I mean, it's close.
Shut the fuck up. I said it right.
Joanna.
Listen, anyway, after that fight, you're thinking, how? I mean, like Rose, she has to dot her I's, cross her T's. She can't make one mistake with this girl because she's a powerhouse. Fucking powerhouse. She, the poor Joanna, she made her into a balloon head. You got me, it was dangerous.
I know. So I thought, you know, honestly, I thought Weili Zhang would win that fight just because she's so strong. She's so good in the pocket. She's such an amazing athlete. But when Rose comes out, and there's something about Rose, like Rose is my favorite fighter too. So let me go on record to say that Rose is my favorite fighter, but there's something about her that's so relatable to the struggle of fighters because you can kind of see her going through her processes and dealing with the struggles mentally and emotionally of going out there to fight. And you can watch her win those battles within herself and still be able to come out and perform like the champion that she is. And there's something relatable and honorable about that, which is why I love her so much. Cause you watch her go through these processes of like underperforming because she wasn't mentally there. Then you watch her do things like you were saying before, like I'm the best. I'm the best. I'm the best. And I sent that to Jillian. I said, look at the way she's saying this. She's not just saying this out of routine. She's saying this because she believes it. And you can see it in her face that she believes it. And she went out there and performed the way she should have. And I don't know, man. I just love watching her fight, man. She's so skilled. She's so talented. And again, like you can see her winning her own internal struggles in real time in fights.
The way she wins is interesting too. Like there's not one pattern, like, you know, Joanna, she beats, with strikes. Well, nobody thought she was going to beat Joanna with strikes. Everyone thought she was going to beat her on the ground. She gets her to tap for strikes. And then she comes back and she beats her in a decision. So she goes five rounds and wins that way. Andrade, she was doing great in the first round, and then she gets dropped on her head, loses, comes back, wins a decision. Weili Zhang, she beats with a head kick. Like, there's really, she seems like very difficult to figure out. She's not winning the same way. You know, she can win fast in the first round or the second round, or she can go the distance. So I think that really shows how the variety. Everybody knows how good she is on the ground, too, and she hasn't needed that in, I guess, the last four fights.
Yeah, but you also got to credit, you know, Trevor Whitman, really. I mean, what he's done with those athletes is just amazing. And he just credits it. He credits it to the fundamentals, just focusing on the fundamentals. And for me, it's easy to say that, but to be able to get these high level athletes to rely on that and have confidence in just the basics is difficult because everybody wants to do the flashy stuff. Everybody feels like they got to, you know, do something extra, but to be able to get these high level athletes and the best fighters in the world to just believe in their fundamentals is crazy. And he's done that. So like, I take my hat off to Trevor.
Yeah. So who does Rose fight? Fight next.
A rematch. That would probably be in order.
I wonder if they do that. Do they do it to make it a huge fight? Do they have this in Vegas or do they have UFC in China? Because they were talking about her social media in China, like the Chinese version of Twitter. I forget what it's called. But, you know, the things she does, they get like a billion impressions. Like, you know, she's a massive, massive star in China. So you wonder if they do the next UFC China and they have the Zhang Rose rematch be the main event. That would be a huge fight in China.
I mean, who else is there? You know, I mean, I'm dying for Tatiana Suarez to come back because when she was fighting, she looked like no one could beat her. She was unstoppable. But she's been out for a couple of years. I don't know. I think she had injury, like a neck injury. So she's been out. But I think that if she came back and got some momentum going, I think she poses a threat to every last one of them. Just her style was just very difficult. She was like the female version of Khabib.
Mackenzie Dern is number five. Yen is number three. So, I mean, there's a couple of interesting fights. She's not going to fight Yan Jacek again. She's beaten her twice. And maybe if it's not Zhang in the rematch, it's going to be one of those. But maybe Weili Zhang gets the rematch. Even though it was a first-round KO, she's still such a big star in China. They'd be kind of crazy not to do that.
Yeah, but you know, them first-round KOs, you can always look at them and just say that was a fluke.
Sure.
You know, so, like, it does make sense for that rematch and to give her another opportunity. And we all know that, like, in rematches from those fluke-type knockouts, they tend to be good anyway. So yeah. I do think that a rematch is in order. I think give her another chance.
Fucking looking at me, Dean Thomas, when you're doing the saying the fluke in the first round knockout, and then twice, and you looked at me, you gave me a weird look. You're a fuck.
I did not.
The fluke. I go, what the?
No.
You know those first things, round man, flukes.
I knew that knockout over George St. Pierre was not a fluke because I remember watching that fight at the bar, and I saw how you were investing in the body, and I knew he wasn't looking. I knew he wasn't going to protect his head. And as soon as he did, as soon as you saw the opening, you dotted him right in his forehead, and he dropped. And I saw it, and he tapped the strikes too. So I knew that fight like the back of my hand.
Today's episode is brought to you by Devour, the official frozen meal of the UFC. They put big flavor first with premium meats, creamy sauces, and gooey cheeses. How good does this sound, Matt? Check out their buffalo chicken mac and cheese the next time you're in the freezer aisle.
It's
smothered in a spicy buffalo cheddar cheese sauce that'll knock your socks off. Or how about their loaded potatoes with Angus beef and bacon? God, that sounds good. You guessed it, loaded with crispy bacon and delicious hunks of Angus beef. This sounds so good. Whatever you choose, Devour Meals is the new favorite frozen meal.
I love Devour, Jimmy, and I'm gonna get nuts with the meals, Jimmy.
Devour Meals, the official frozen meal of the UFC. You put in the work training at the gym, on the court, at the track, wherever you go. You push your body to the limit. Now maximize your results. Discover how to unlock your inner champion with Thorne's high-performance sports nutrition line. With the most comprehensive line of NSF certified for sport products on the market, Thorne is the unquestioned leader in both quality and innovation in sports nutrition. With pre-built fitness bundles like Thorne's training bundle, you can jumpstart your training and fitness routines and help take your performance to the next level. Don't trust your body to anything else. Choose the supplement brand with the extensive third-party testing and the highest level of certification recognized in pro sports. Choose Thorne, the official sports performance nutrition partner of the UFC. Visit Thorne.com and use the promo code UFC10. That's T-E-N for 10% off. That's promo code UFC10 and you get 10% off. And Matt and I get the credit, and that's all that matters.
You know what, Dean Thomas? We're going back to Texas. You know that. I don't know if Jimmy knows that.
I didn't know that.
Jimmy didn't get the memo. No. Or the invite. No, well, I'd invite him, but I'd invite you, Jimmy.
I understand, but it's not your call. I'm busy. I can't go. I'm busy.
Max Sarah looking for a fight. I'm a guest on that fucking show.
I'm busy anyway. When are you going?
Certainly not Dean Thomas looking for a fight. it's Dana White looking for a fight. And wait, it's a couple of chums.
Yeah.
Now should we talk about two things I would love to get to? Obviously the main event, Kamaru Usman, who's just he looks almost unstoppable. What did you think? And were you surprised? I wasn't surprised he won, but I was surprised that it was like a movie knockout with the sweat flying. Like it was like one of those things they try to film to look cool. I was shocked that it ended as fast as it did.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody expected that. You know, Usman is not known for his power. And now I'm sure he's going to have to be known for his power, but he wasn't really known for his power, even though he did knock out Colby Covington and Gilbert Burns, but just wasn't known for his power. And the fact that he did hit George, and George was saying all that stuff about, man, he doesn't hit very hard.
Yep.
Like, no one expected that. I mean, that was like, I don't know what the odds makers had Usman by knockout were, but it had to be pretty lopsided. So, I mean, I don't know. I was pretty excited for Usman at that moment because, like, here's a guy who works really hard. And as the champion, you could tell that he's still works hard to maintain that, where a lot of champions kind of fall off and they kind of lose sight of the goal. But I think he's got more. I think he's really trying to prove that he's the best ever to do this.
But he's also, the way he did it was so smart, because it's, he's really disguising his intentions and also making, you know, his opponents think, at least worry, the threat of that fucking shot. He got him down early. He got him down with that when he took him down. And, you know, Game Red was expecting that for five rounds. So the second they hit the floor, I was impressed with Jorge off his back, putting the feet in the hips, fucking back fisting him. He was more, he was doing more damage on bottom.
Yeah, but, he was.
But Carroll was, you know, he's not a punk down east. He's smothering, looking for his own shots. So then when he got back up, when first of all, the setup was beautiful. It was, Longo used to show me something very similar where you're almost just, you're swatting away like a left lead hook to that, to the lead hand, and like pulling it out of the way into the right hand. There was no wind up at all. It was boom, just straight. It was so, wow. I mean, the technique, the execution of it was a beauty to watch. Like I kept watching it going like, look at how he swats away that. It's like he pulls down that front arm, the front hand, and just then that chin is right there. He punches through it right when he turns that shoulder, and that hand comes right from the chin. It was just, and then you got to understand with Jorge, who already was taken down, it's the equivalent of him. He has a great chin. If this is in a kickboxing match, who knows if that's landing? Because he'll be aware of it. He's thinking, even for a split second, takedown. It's the shots that you don't see are the ones that hurt you. So for him just hesitating that split second, it's him standing still and just getting that right hand going right to him. It's like, you know what I mean? So it's like, I don't care who you are, you're not going to be able to absorb that. I mean, oh, beautiful.
And Matt, you're right, man. Like you said it best. Like he's disguising those intentions. Like, and you can see him. It's almost like he don't even know what he's going to do at times, because he faints up, he goes down, he faints, then he'll punch down, then he'll shoot down. So he's constantly going up and down, and guys really don't know what to expect from him. And then the fact that he's so much longer, like his arms are so much longer, he has this luxury of being able to touch you from where you can't touch him. So he's fainting from out here, and then still punching, jabbing you to the body, still jabbing you to the head. And you just don't know where things are coming from. Like, you can't allow Usman that type of space and that much time to get going. And that's really what it is. And how do you stop it? I don't know. Every time I've trained somebody to fight him, I lost. So I don't know how to beat him.
He's and he's fighting. Covington's getting the rematch. Is Usman's next fight. And then there's Edwards against Diaz. So do you think the winner of that gets the winner of Covington, Usman?
You would have to think that the winner of that would get that, especially if Leon wins. I mean, if Nate wins, I don't know, because, you know, Nate plays hardball in the negotiation room. So if Nate wins, he'll probably sit out another year because, you know, for whatever reason. But if Leon wins, you know, Leon's going to get it. And I do think Leon stacks up probably better than anybody else against Usman for that length perspective, because Usman won't enjoy that same length advantage that he has over everybody else, because Leon is just as long.
And you said something too, which kind of was something else I wanted to, and I want to get both your opinions. Jones is, they're going back and forth, and they said now maybe Lewis against Ngannou. And again, I don't know what they're offering John, and I'm certainly not going to question Jones's negotiation, because he's obviously worth whatever he can get. But do you think that he's making, because he hasn't fought in a while, is he making a mistake by allowing this opportunity to pass? Because if it becomes, let's say Edwards, Lewis beats Ngannou. I mean, Lewis against Jones is very interesting, but Ngannou against Jones as the champion, I think, is the most interesting fight for him. So do you think that he's making a mistake allowing this to kind of slide by?
So again, like you said, like, I don't know what it's like in the negotiation room, and I don't know how much Jones wants to fight. Like, that's the real thing. Like, how bad does he want to fight? Like, if he wants to fight, he needs to negotiate better. If he doesn't really care, the UFC will move on without him, and the UFC will do just fine without him. Like, the UFC does fine without Ronda. When Conor was gone, the UFC does fine. So, like, that's the one thing that these guys don't realize, is the UFC will move on without you and do just fine. They'll create another star. So, like, if you want to fight, you got to be able to negotiate. If you don't care, then, you know, stick it out. And you know, if you don't care, you got money enough like that, wait it out. But if you care and you really want to do something for your legacy and, you know, be the heavyweight champ in the world, then you might have to, you know, be willing to negotiate down a little bit.
Yeah. And again, I can't say he's wrong because I don't know what who am I to tell John Jones what he should ask for? You know, he's arguably the best of all time. But, you know, if you want to step in and fight Francis, I think it's a mistake to let Francis fight somebody else. For, I mean, that's a huge payday you could lose if you're thinking of it just in those terms.
Yeah, I mean, he could lose that. But again, like, if he doesn't really care,
right,
then he doesn't care. But like, if he wants to make a statement and be the greatest ever, greatest heavyweight ever, this and that and the third, if he wants to make that statement, he needs to take that fight right now.
Thomas, why do I see on your screen name it says De Niro?
That's my real name.
Yeah.
Now, this is what I'm talking about. I always make fun that, like, your parents couldn't spell and stuff. But meanwhile, no, they can. It wasn't D-I-N on your birth certificate. Well,
actually, it is. Yarrow is my middle name. I just put it together.
Anyway, listen to me.
Matt, I miss you so much, Matt. Like, I can't so get enough fun of Matt Serra.
Dean, this is what I told Dean Thomas.
I can.
This is what I told Dean Thomas. I go, yo, I don't get to Texas often, right? Dean knows where I'm going with this. I don't go to Texas often. I go, we're going to be there shooting the show. I go, you're going to be at the fights this weekend. He goes, yeah. He doesn't even tell me. First of all, I told him you had a fighter. They didn't even tell me you're working. You're like, yeah, I'm going to be there. So I go, all right. I go, if you see Joe Rogan, I go, where are we going to be in Texas? Are we going to be anywhere near where he does his show? And then Dean goes, yeah, I don't know, like an hour or two, whatever it is. I go, let's do a road trip, man. I go, you see Joe? Tell him that we'll ask him if he, you know, wouldn't mind us jumping on the show with him and having a good time. And Dean's like, all right, I'll get him. I'll ask him. So Dean, so I texted Dean, I go, what happened, man? He goes, nah, man, I can't get at him. He doesn't want to talk to nobody. I go, what are you talking about? It's us.
He goes, I know, man, listen. But he was like Joe Rogan is like on another level now. Like he walked in like 5 minutes before the show started. Like,
that's our old friend. You know what is funny, Dean? Now that I thought about it, because I'm not really thinking about it like that. I'm thinking about it like me and you, because I'm never out. I'm just inviting myself on the guy's show. But I'm I'm thinking of me and you, because we know him such a long time, fucking 20 years.
Yeah.
2001, that he would probably want us on. So I'm like, what am I, you know? And you're like, don't you got his number? I'm like, I do, but it might be his old number. So I don't want to call somebody different.
I have this new number, but I don't know if I'm permitted to give it out.
Well, ask him.
I'll say to Joe, look.
Do not ask him.
Couple of friends want to reach out, Joe.
No, Jimmy, I am not. You are not my connection to Joe Rogan.
All right.
I'm friends with him also.
Yes. No, man, listen, Matt, let me tell you.
I have his real number.
Yes.
Right, anyway, listen, the point is this. You dropped the ball, Dean Thomas.
I did drop the ball, but for good reason.
You're road tripping to get to Joe's show.
No, listen, we're gonna make it happen. I'm gonna get the number
like this.
Jimmy gonna give me the number off the air.
Absolutely, I'll say to Joe, look, there's a couple of guys I know. I'm sure you know them. They would love to chat. Maybe I'll just say, hey, look, Dean Thomas or Matt Serra would love to talk to you if you're interested.
The ship has sailed, my friend.
No, it hasn't.
I know it didn't. The ship is fucking sunk. Listen to me. You know what I'm doing tomorrow? You know what I'm doing tomorrow, guys?
What?
I don't know. Why do I do that? I should just tell you what I'm doing.
You know we don't know what you're doing. You know we have no idea.
Yeah, what point now in our relationship when the things that annoy him about annoy? But
I love Matt, but I mean, you know, like, we don't know.
Like, dude, I don't know. It's always be like, hey, Jim, you know what I seen the other day? He's like, watch. Like, he knows. Yeah. I'm going to stop doing that, Jimmy.
No, please don't.
But guess what I'm doing tomorrow? I'm going to do
I'm going to guess.
Guess what I'm doing? I already told you. That's why I said it.
Okay.
What are you doing?
I am doing, because we're talking about podcasts.
That's right.
Jimmy doesn't listen to me because I already told
you. You're doing a podcast.
I'm doing, fucking asshole. I am going to do the Tramp. Wait.
With Frankie Edgar.
Yeah. Shut up. Motherfucker, the Champ and the Tramp. Wait, what comes first? Is it the Tramp and the Champ?
Not in my life. In my life, it's the Tramp first.
No, in this one, Frankie's the champ, and his buddy is the tramp.
Who's his buddy?
Roger. That dirty. No, he's the guy used to date a Jersey housewife. He was married to a housewife. No, not a. No, a fucking nerd, the Jersey Shore girl. He's right. What is it? The Jersey Shore? Yeah.
Yeah. So who is he married to? Snooki or Sammy or who is he married
J-Wow.
To?
J-Wow.
Oh, she's lovely.
J-Wow's husband. Listen, enough of J-Wow.
She's delightful.
Can we just
I'd love to take her out for a soda. She's very pretty.
The point is this. I am doing Frank Yeager's podcast tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm driving over to Toms River. It's like 3 hours from my house.
Really?
It's a long drive. What time are you taking?
A 3 hour drive. What am I doing? I gotta, you know what it is? I should probably get a buddy to do a road trip with me, no?
What time are you taping?
I don't mind if I brought a buddy. It's like 8 o'clock at night, Jimmy. You wanna do it with me?
No. And so you're gonna be leaving in rush hour. That's perfect.
I'm looking forward to it. You know why? It feels to me like, listen, I take 3 hour road trips when I go corner the guys in Atlantic City. And I sometimes I do that by myself. Let me clear my head. You know what I mean? Get my head straight, put the music on.
Get on. I do it too.
Do you really?
I drive a lot, man. I do. I mean, in fact, that's how I got to Jacksonville. I drove.
How far is that from where you live?
It was 3 hours for me, but I drove there, and then I drove to Miami because I had to drop somebody off in Miami.
You act like it's right next door. How far is that?
That's like 2 hours from me, the other direction.
Oh, that's not good. Hey, man. Well, listen. I like to have a good time. Frankie, I told Frankie I want to go on his show.
Did you?
He's right over here. Yeah, I'll go on his show. I like Frankie Edgar.
Why can't you do it on Zoom, though?
I guess I could, but I want to do it. I'm going to do it in studio.
It's always better.
Always, come on, man.
You're right.
You know how I like to party.
Yeah,
we have a good time, man.
Hey, so are you gonna come to the after party we have in Houston?
Oh, what?
Me and Eric Anders, we're gonna do an after party.
Oh, yeah, boy. You mean you and your boy. Yeah, boy?
Your boy, yeah.
Yeah, boy. Like that?
No, it's Flavor Flav. That's 1989, Flavor Flav.
I really want to bring back the What's Up. That was so much fun. Let's all do it. D. Diamond, right? Yeah.
Come on. Let's go. Let's do it.
Ring. Pick up the phone. Just hello.
Hello.
Waza. Guys, ready? Let's call Jimmy now. Hey, Jimmy, ring.
The number you have reached has been disconnected.
That thing never should have went away. It's so much fun to do.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Wait, Dean, I forgot to ask you too, before I forget. Sorry, my mind is bad too. What, you were with DC when he had that confrontation?
Yeah.
What happened? Because I've seen a couple of videos and I'm a little tired of Jake Paul, but I mean, it was something involving DC. So what happened and what started it?
So basically, like when Jake Paul first got there, like DC was coming back from, I think, the bathroom or something like that. And as he was walking, like Jake Paul might have said something to him and DC saw him. And all I heard DC was like, he looked at him and was like, yo, don't play with me, boy, I'll slap you. So then that was like early in the night. And as soon as he said that, I said, you know, where I'm at the table next to DC. So I like wrote him a little note. I was like, hey, I wrote him a note, said, if Jake Paul starts something, yo, make sure you come and get me. And then he was like, cool. So then later in the night, I'm chilling. I'm standing. I think I was talking to Brian, Dana, security guy, and Megan O'Leary comes up and she gets me and says, "Hey, can you go see check on DC? I think he's about to get in a fight." And I said, "Uh-oh." Cause he, and then I ran over there in DC and was in Jake Paul's face. Like, boy, I slap you right here. And you know, Jake Paul was trying to mouth off. And then his little goofy bouncers was over there trying to mouth off. So that's when I came in. It was, you know what I'm saying? Like, as I'll swing on one of the bouncers, you know what I'm saying? I don't know about Jake Paul. Cause you know, he knocked out Ben. I ain't want to be the next dude. I was a DC handle that one, but I was going to swing on one of them bouncers.
Dean Thomas, hold on. Don't even joke around and make like that you couldn't fucking strangle the fuck out of Jake Paul.
Oh, nah. Like, if I had to, I would have hopped over that little barrier and put him in a damn crucifix.
Yeah, listen. Dean, listen. The way I look at it is, man, DC's, you know, when you're used to doing what we're doing, dude, shut the fuck up with this. Him and the other guy that was talking to Tyron going.
I saw the video, by the way, Matt. I was furious watching that video. Yeah.
It's like, dude, what are you doing? This guy will take you down and elbow you into the fucking earth. Like, what are you talking about?
I know.
Yeah, I'm something Gene, something by signed by something Hammond. Dude, nobody gives a fuck. How about that? Nobody gives a fuck. Nobody gives a fuck, dude.
Yeah, what started that? It started when they were
whatever limb we want to take. That's it.
Do you know what started that? Because I watched that Tyron video and I was so annoyed at this guy talking. Like, it's like because Tyron would just put you on the ground and choke you into unconscious. If he wanted to choke you, he would choke you. What started that? Was Tyron saying something about the gloves and the guy was being an asshole, or was Tyron fucking with the gloves and the other guy was, I didn't see how it started.
I'm not really sure how it started, to be honest, man. Like, all I know is the dude was like, yeah, I'm signed by whoever, Al Heyman or whatever. And he was like, he was just like dangling the gloves going, you don't know nothing about these. You don't know nothing about these. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, what is, like, at this moment, like, what's stopping Tyron from just kicking this dude in his face? Like, Tyron could just literally kick this guy right in his face. Like, what's, and I'm trying to like read Tyron's body language. Like, what's stopping him from doing it? But I was kind of hoping that he would just do it. Just turn and just spin kick that dude right in his mouth.
Or is it that fact that that guy is trying to get a fight with Tyron? Like, is everything now jockeying for position because Tyron's contract is up? So is a guy like that going, fuck it, I'm going to see if I can goad Tyron. I mean, Jake Paul is a little annoying, but I mean, he's smart because he's going there and there's 17,000 people going, fuck Jake Paul. Like, everyone knows who he is. So guys for the payday are going to want to line up and fight him. I mean, it's kind of a smart strategy.
It is a smart strategy, but, and they're also taking advantage of the toughness of MMA guys. Cause you know, MMA guys, we don't give a damn. We will fight anybody anywhere. So it's like, yeah. I don't care, boxing, whatever. But like, but they know they won't come to MMA and fight. Like, that's the thing. So let's not do it in something neutral. Like, even bare knuckle is kind of neutral. And I think bare knuckle would be more fair. So like, let Tyron and this guy fight bare knuckle and see what happens.
Would Tyron do it?
Hell yeah, he would do it. I know Tyron, he would certainly do that.
But it's hard to fight a pure boxer. I mean, if you're an MMA guy, because it's just, you know, boxers, that's what they do. It's difficult to lose half your weapons. You know, as a fighter, you guys are losing half of your weapons. You're losing kicks and takedowns and elbows and knees and fucking, you know, and the clinch is not going to get broken up. You clinch in boxing, they just separate you. You don't have to worry about being taken down.
I mean, Matt can tell you, like, when we talk about, like, specific disciplines, Matt will tell you, like a pure jiu-jitsu player that does pure jiu-jitsu has an advantage over an MMA guy doing jiu-jitsu. It's just the way it is. You know what I'm saying? Because like the timing is different. The distance is different. Grips are different. You're looking for different things. So when you go into boxing, it's the same thing. Like the distance is different. Foot positioning is different. The way you hold your hands, you can head movement. So like, it's unfair for MMA guys to get in there because like what we see and what the people see are just punches being thrown. So they don't know the difference.
Right.
But when, so they don't really know what they're looking at. They don't know the difference. But for someone who boxed and someone who doesn't have a mate, there's a big difference in that. But the only thing that's, you know, what they're taking advantage of is MMA guys don't care. MMA guys are like, shit, you know, I fight in a cage. I'll fight you in boxing. I don't care. And it's unfair. And it's you know, it's kind of unfortunate that they take advantage of us that way. But that's what's happening right now.
And it's also like, you know, like to not have to defend leg kicks. You know, it's boxers don't have to, I mean, I'm not knocking boxers. What they do is fucking amazing, but they don't have to defend somebody throwing a kick at their legs, or you know, they don't have to defend Ovin St. Preux throwing that giant left leg into the middle of their stomach. You know, it's just it's a different thing.
And this is not a knock against boxers, but right. on a scale of toughness, boxers are generally not as tough as MMA guys. Like in a boxing, like when you foul a boxer, like you punch him in the back of his head, even in sparring or practice, the first thing they do is they start complaining. MMA guys don't give a damn, man. MMA guys don't give a shit. You know what I'm saying? We're used to getting kicked and kneed and elbowed in the face. So, like, we're used to taking impact. You foul a boxer, man, they start crying and complaining. And that was the first thing I learned back in the 90s when I used to spar with boxers. I was like, man, why are they complaining so much? And it was because, like, they're used to fighting with them rules and that rule set. And you foul them, they're going to complain about it.
Yeah, man, that's all fucked up. Let me ask you something.
I love how much Matt wants to strangle that guy.
Matt's just like, nah, let me get my hands on him.
Yeah, he just wants to choke him.
I remember a while ago hearing about a new movie coming out. And when I heard about it, I go, oh, my God, it might be finally time. This is amazing. And the movie was going to be called Jiu-Jitsu. So I go, wow. I go, Jiu-Jitsu, what could it possibly be? I go, could it be like the origins of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu? Could it be could it be Hicks and Gracie on the beach with Hugo Duarte, give him a smack in the face? And could it be then the Lucha Libre guys? What could this be? And then I found out Nick Cajun is in it. And I go, oh, well, you know, the eyebrows went up. I go, he was in Leaving Las Vegas. So I'm saying there's still hope. Frank Grillo. Oh, I like Frank Grillo. And then the guy, Alan Musasi, who's the stunt guy, he's like the lead. And I went, oh, okay. So I listened. I watched some of it. Unwatchable!
Oh, no.
Unwatchable. You can't watch it. I tried. I want to run into traffic after watching a little bit of it.
Oh, wait a minute. What's it about?
Oh, Dean Thomas. Let me tell you something. I don't even know. I just think it was utter shit. So when I'm watching this thing and I'm like, oh, wait, is there aliens? What is this, Predator? What is, oh, look at the budget on this. Then I hear Frank Grillo. Frank Grillo is awesome in anything. So I like him. I go, oh, Frank, you can't even help this movie at all, Frank. Holy fuck.
You weren't a fan of the film?
Oh, I want to switch my arc. I'm no longer Sarah Karate. Coming here, you know, I'm gonna start practicing kata. This is bullshit.
Where can you even find this movie?
This movie's on Netflix.
Ah.
And I just started. I'm like this. Oh, I go. I don't even know what's out. This is amazing. I heard about this.
I'm gonna watch this movie now.
I need you to watch some of it.
Jiu-Jitsu, yeah. Is Nick Cage the fighter? Is he a jiu-jitsu fighter?
No. He's a guy showing up for a paycheck.
By the way, the movie box should tell you that a movie stinks. When the box is somebody looking and everyone's looking directly into camera and someone's holding a sword, that movie stinks. That's always an indicator that you're not in for a good film experience. When everyone in the cast is looking at the camera, it's a shit film. That's usually
you know what? You could, the way you almost described that with the sword was like the 13th Warrior with Antonio Banderas. And that movie is the opposite of shit. That movie is a cult classic. Mm-hmm. And I want everybody to try to watch that movie.
Well, he's holding the sword, Matt, and there's something glistening off it, the glint of the sunlight in Jiu-Jitsu. Look at the box cover if you can see it, Dean. It's he's holding it. Watch the way the sunlight is glinting off into a blue light, and you're like, oh, this is shit.
Oh my God. I gotta see this movie.
Oh, you want to see it?
It's unwatchable. I have to give it a try.
Have to.
I was trying to find something to hold on to, you know. Dean Thomas, what's the last thing you've seen and enjoyed? You're a movie buff.
The last movie I seen in it. You know what it's been a while actually since I've seen a movie and enjoyed a movie.
Or a series.
But so I tried to watch Kong vs. Godzilla.
How was that? I
couldn't make it through, man. Same thing. I couldn't make it through. I fell asleep.
It sucks.
I guess so. I fell asleep. But so what I watched it was really good was, oh my goodness, what was that movie? American Skin.
It sounds weird. It sounds like something Jimmy would watch. What is it?
No, it's, you know, it's some, you know, it's done by, it's a Spike Lee film. So it's, you know, it's on some, you know, black political, not political, but social justice type stuff.
Now, is it a bad, who's in it? Because he always gets the great work out of his actors.
Nate Parker.
Okay. I don't know Nate
Parker. So Nate Parker actually wrestled at, I want to say Penn State.
Oh.
Yeah. And he was in that movie. Oh, I can't remember the name of the movie. See, my brain is all scrambled now, but look him up, Nate Parker. But he's a tremendous actor. It's about the cops shoot his son. He's a black guy. The cops shoot his son. And then he takes the police station hostage.
Wow. Sounds like a feel good movie.
Yeah.
It's of something that's going to make me feel.
No, it's not going. But actually, it does, man. The end is a good. It ends well. Put it that way.
Well, hopefully, it ends better than Fight the Power. That was like, what was that movie called?
Fight the Power. Do the Right Thing.
Do the Right Thing.
Yeah.
Oh. I love that movie. Every time
makes
I see
me want pizza.
Makes me want pizza. Sal's pizza looked delicious. That is how I go.
Sal, how come you got no brothers up on the wall?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great film. That's a great film.
I'm not going to do any of those lines, but I'm going to say that I enjoyed it. Me and Dean Thomas, we're so good for race relations.
Yeah.
You know? We are good for race relations. Like, we almost single-handedly ended racism, but I think we're going to do it in Houston.
Dean Thomas, so I listen, I like that you got a memo on the stuff we're going to do, and meanwhile, I go there and I find out, like, on the spot.
No, actually, I think Mick Maynard told me.
Well, you tell me after this. I like to keep the.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you after this. Mick told me because I saw him on the sly. So he told me what's up.
Text me after this because I want to know what the hell's going on.
Why don't you just let them surprise you? Maybe they want to. They like you and you're surprised. You're very good off the cuff.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. So, guys, listen, I did not bring up, and I want to bring up because I was very impressed with his performance, is Brendan Allen versus Carl Roberts.
Yep.
I mean, now, first of all, Carl Robertson looked like he was almost getting out of trouble going for a leg. And Dean Thomas, you know this about me. When anytime I was in bottom in the UFC, I'm telling you, I can think of three times right off the back of my head, right at the top of my head, back of my head, is I like to attack the legs. Guys go to defend them, I get on top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't like to play that whole little fucking foot fest when we're playing with in that little entanglement, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, because then it's like, all right, I got you. Uh-oh. Your foot's not so easy to break. You brought mine across. Now you have me. Now I'm getting fucked. So, I mean, I was impressed for a second when Carl Robinson went to attack the leg to get out, but then he stayed in there too long. And he tried to get the submission, put his legs at risk. And next thing you know, Brendan Allen is taking that thing home with him.
Wasn't there 5 or 6 seconds left in the round too? When it was really close to the end of the round, right?
Yeah, it was.
When the submission's on like that, two more seconds is two seconds too long. It's the joint going in the wrong direction. It's the knee getting torn apart. It's the elbow getting broken. So it's, you know. And I mean, the only thing I've ever seen with a guy, it's a little different too with the arms and the legs and whatnot, is maybe Tony Ferguson, who's fucking kind of like a total psychopath. Because normally it's just an instinct. You might not want to tap, but you'll be like, ah, tap. Yeah. Like, you might not want to. It would just be like an instinct, you know? Yeah. But Tony's not too normal in a good way for the cage, you know?
And am I the only one who thought that, I think Sekulic, is that how you say his name? Over Grant. I thought he should have won that decision.
Hell yeah. He got robbed.
I don't know
what the judges were watching in that fight. Like,
no, terrible.
I'd love to hear them justify how they gave that fight to Davy Grant because, man, Sekulic. Yeah, Dwight Grant. Davy Grant. Who the hell is that? Dwight Grant. But Sekulic, I mean, I thought he looked good.
Yeah.
I thought he controlled the fight from start to finish. I would love to see how they can justify giving it to Dwight Grant. I don't think they can.
I am curious about that sometimes too. Like, I actually, if I remember correctly, I thought that Jędrzejczyk should have gotten the nod over Zhang. I remember thinking that Joanna won that fight, but it's like one of those. It's so close. You could see how somebody saw it. You know, the other way. But sometimes you watch it and you're like, what the fuck did they see?
What did they see?
That so not in that
the size of a balloon.
Yeah, it was definitely more damaged.
The judges were like, well, who did that round go to? Well, here's Wiley. And then let me see Joanna. Wow, I mean, that thing.
Yeah.
I felt horrible for that girl. That girl likes to do the old Instagram pics, and she's an attractive girl. So that it was just like it's like she got a balloon head.
Well, that one. So that one you could
see anything like that.
You could see that one. But with this one, you're like, I would love to see the guy go back and explain round by round how they scored. Like when you see sometimes 30-27, 30-27, and then they give the 27-30. You're like, how the fuck did they see the entire fight differently than somebody else? You've seen those once in a while, too.
There was one on this card. I can't remember which one it was, but it was
Vargas over Zhu, yeah. It was there was 30-26.
Yeah.
The others were 29-28, yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, Patrick Sabatini though did great.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
He's a tough guy, man. He's from Daniel Gracie, right? Who's a buddy of mine over in Philadelphia. And he fought before he got in the UFC, he fought one of my black belts. I think even Rogan mentioned it, James Gonzalez. And James got him. It's on James Gonzalez's Instagram. And he got him. It was at the Cage Fury, I believe. And he got his elbow. They took the elbow out from an omoplata. So the arm was like hanging off. Jimmy, I showed you the clip when it happened. And that dude didn't tap. The dude was just sitting there like, oh man, fuck. I wiped my arm. So that's how tough that fucking kid is. But what a nice skill set by Patrick Sabatini, because Tristan Connolly was there to fight.
Yeah.
And, I thought that Sabatini, for his first time in there, was very poised. And I thought I loved the way he changed levels for those double legs. And I'll tell you, I was impressed with him, especially for his first time in there, you know?
Yeah, he's able to stay composed, and he fought a great fight, great strategy, was able to keep it. And even when Tristan Connolly was coming back in the third round, like, he was still able to keep his wits about him and just still be able to take advantage. So, like, Pat Sabatini, like, he comes from that Philly stock, man. Like, them boys over there, them boys love to fight in Philly.
Yeah, fucking Alvarez.
Yeah.
Who else?
Felder.
Yeah. Paul Felder. Even boxers, too.
Fucking, Sean Brady.
Larry Holmes. Fucking Meldrick Taylor. There's a lot of good fighters that came out of Philadelphia. Rocky, of course. I mean, the quintessential Philadelphia. Joe Frazier.
Yeah.
I couldn't stop saying the name after that.
Sonny Liston. I want to just keep naming tough guys from Philly.
I just want to sing. I just want to sing the name. I just want to Sabatini, Sabatini. Sabatini, Sabatini, Sabatini. Hold on. Sabatini, 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 Sabatini.
You might cut out.
Sabatini. Patrick Sabatini, Sabatini, Sabatini. Sabatini, Sabatini, Sabatini. Sabatini, Sabatini. Come on. Dean Thomas, ready? Patrick Sabatini.
Sabatini, Sabatini.
Yeah.
Sabatini, Sabatini, Sabatini.
Sabatini,
Sabatini.
Sabatini, Sabatini.
Sabatini, Sabatini.
Patrick Sabatini. Anyway, Jimmy, come back. We're done.
I'm here.
I did that with my friend Dean Thomas. It's a little, this gets us ready for our little road trip.
Yeah, it does.
You know, our road trip to Joe Rogan's. We're going to be like, wait, here. He'd be like, dude, I did not book you.
Yeah, I told Jimmy to tell you no.
No, it's your old friend. Didn't Jimmy tell you we were coming? Joe Rogan. Yeah, Elon Musk the waste.
Do you know how much I would love to tell Matt that you guys are booked and have you show up there and have Joe go, what the fuck are you doing here?
I'm going to say we're grandfathered in. And I'm going to say I'm going to run into him. And he's going to be like, Matt, I heard you wanted to come on. Why didn't you just call me? And I go, oh, Joe.
Yeah.
He's going to say that, Matt. You know he's going to say that.
Yeah, he's a buddy of mine.
Whether he means it or not, that's different.
Yeah.
Well, listen, people, yeah. I'm announcing now. I'm not announcing nothing, dude. Maybe announcing what's going on. The guy's going to hear this tape somewhere. They played for him. I think I'm a fucking stalker. Listen, all I do know is it's not too late for either one of you to join me on the Champ and the Tramp tomorrow night. Who wants to do a road trip, Jimmy?
I wasn't invited, so I have to say no.
All right, Dean Thomas, you're out of state right now. Where are you? You're in Florida?
If I was in New York, man, I would go with you.
You would love to.
I would.
You know? Yeah, Jimmy's not going to know until one day, many, many years from now, this show gets canceled. No time recent. No time soon.
I hope not.
But many, many moons from now, it's going to end. Weeks are going to go by. A couple of weeks are going to go by. Jimmy's going to be like, oh, this is kind of good. I don't get to see this that big mouth, bald-headed guy. And then you're going to be like, man, it's kind of quiet in my life. My life's a little, it's not as loud as it was.
I know. And I'll say that I'll be laying next to a jackhammer. It'll be, it's quieter than it used to be.
I'm not that loud, Jimmy. I'm not that loud at all.
An hour of Dean Thomas is good because I don't like to split your time with anybody. So I'm happy it was just you.
Thank you, my brother. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Dean Thomas. And Dean Thomas, I like you as well. And soon I'm going to be with you in Texas doing God knows what. But we're going to have a good time and the world will know. Could you do me a favor? Maybe learn the words to a couple of those Post Malone songs.
No, I'm going to start learning the words to all the Post Malone stuff. I'm going to buy the album and I'm just going to get to read all the words.
Listen, it's 2021. You don't got to go out there. But it's not like you go out and get Thriller and the fuck. You don't got to buy the album. Calm down. All right. Can you get with the times? Just watch it on YouTube a bunch of times with the words. That's what you do nowadays. You go to the bar. What are you going to get the fucking title?
I was going to go get the tape.
No, you could do that. Listen to me. What do you want to plug, Dean Thomas? You're all over the place.
Let's see. What am I going to plug? You know what? I got some Dean Diaries coming out soon.
Is there new Dean Diaries coming?
Yeah, I got a new one. I did one on Michael Chandler. So
shit.
Yeah.
Where do they catch that?
It's not out yet. It'll probably air the week of his fight. So and you guys are going to enjoy it too because we get deep. Me and Michael Chandler get deep.
Oh, nice.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, deep so, as far as like philosophical.
Philosophical. Yeah, philosophical. So I think everybody's going to enjoy that. But yeah, so check that out when it comes out. Other than that, listen, looking for a fight. We're going to be back in Houston. Come say hello to us. Me and Matt, we're going to be out there if y'all want to come to the party. I mean,
you and Eric,
and Eric Anders having a party at like Sound Garden Beer, Sound Beer, whatever it's called. I don't know.
Wait, what's the name of it?
I can't remember.
You got to know that. Name of it, the after party. Well, you're going to plug it again.
Yeah, I'm going to plug it again.
I'll tell you one place Matt and Dean won't be in Austin at Joe Rogan's house. They'll be
nope. Yeah, we will. We're going to find a way to get out to Joe Rogan.
I, you never listen to me. You never know what'll happen. But all I know is we got a good times coming. Jimmy, what do you got to plug?
The Chip Chipperson podcast is a brand new one up. It is very popular. Go to chipchipperson.com or go get a shirt. The YouTube is where you can see the podcast. And if you want a shirt, go to chipchipperson.com. How could you not? Dean, thank you. And Matt, of course, people want to take some jujitsu lessons. Where can they go?
Oh, go to sarahbjj.com for all your jujitsu needs. I don't fucking know. Listen, now I'm teaching my arm locks in Huntington, Long Island. I'm having a good time. I'm also on Cameo. You know what I might also do, guys? Not to be a total whore, but this other thing got in touch with me about doing like almost like video calls for like a little bit of cash. Like they set up like 15-minute things where you could have a Zoom thing. It's interesting. I'm thinking about doing it. But I mean, I don't know if I'm going to be, I don't have the whole day to talk to people, but like 15-minute windows, you sell that for something. And I can just sit here and I can just chat with people. You think that's a fucking good idea or no?
That's a great idea.
Jimmy, what do you think about that? Am I a total whore if I do that?
No. I think it's great.
My kids.
Yeah.
You know, and I like to talk.
I'm 100% with you. Do
it. Somebody that likes to talk about comic books or video games.
Yeah.
Or pop culture.
Yeah.
Or how shitty
the
movie is. Anyway, listen, yeah, I'm on Cameo. I'll tell you about the other thing eventually. And Jimmy, I'll FaceTime you later.
Please. Dean
Thomas, talk to you soon. Thanks for coming on, brother.
All right, fellas.
Thanks, Dean. Matt, I'll talk to you in a couple days. Bye, guys.
Later, gang.
See you.
Peace.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Capella University is rethinking higher education. With their game-changing FlexPath format, you can earn your degree on your schedule, so you can fit education seamlessly into your life. Imagine your future differently. acapella.edu.